You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Conference finals are in full swing, and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders. To give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball and hockey playoffs, offering players a free shot at $10,000 in total prizes. That's up to $10,000 in total prizes up for grabs each day. The best part is, it's free-to-play. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to Pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get a free shot at $10,000 in total prizes every day in the NBA and NHL playoffs. Head to DraftKings Pool to Play page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Today on the Soda Pod, it's a Wednesday episode. That means we're bringing back Judge Joey Season 2, Argument Number 2. And then we have a brand new segment with our friend Q, Make Good Choices. All that and more in episode 164 of the Soda Pod. Let's go. The wild woods of Vancouver Island. Welcome to the Soda Pod. Ishidroma here alongside the state of Hoppy. And thank you for joining us wherever and whenever you are listening. It's Wednesday, so Joy will join us soon for another Judge Joy. But Hoppy, I'm going to hand things over to you because we have a brand new segment in the books and we have our friend Q riding shotgun for it.
Yeah, it only seemed right to have Q looped into this since he gave me the ironically named Make Good Choices beer that inspired this segment, which really is going to be all about not making good choices, such as drinking that whatever experiment you want to call it of that beer. But yeah, every Wednesday, along with Judge Joey, we're going to be talking about, well, stupid things we've done that we think you might think are funny. So that's really all the intro the segment needs.
There you go. There you go. And before we jump into that, just want to remind everyone to, you know, comment on any of our posts on Twitter. We love being interactive. We had a bunch of poll questions, which we've got into in the Monday episode, and we will get into more in our Friday episode here on the Soda Pod. So you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at the Soda Pod. You can send us a text or voicemail 612-324-1684. Big thanks to Open Phone. We're totally interactive here on the Soda Pod. We may not do as many live streams now anymore, but we still want to hear from you. We still want to be interactive with you, and we will have some special, very much listener geared live streams moving forward. Quickly, the Hockey Podcast Network is powered by DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code THPN upon sign up for a bonus and weekly deals. All right, on the other side, brand new segment with our boy Q, Make Good Choices.
Great choice.
Great choice.
So to lead in and get Q comfortable, because I know he's going to end up having a lot of stories to contribute to this segment, I'll kick off first with one that he was actually present for. Let's just say this is what happens when you got a buddy in college who is out in bumfuck middle of nowhere and his parents are gone and he decides to throw a party. So Q and I, and I think there might have been one or two other college buddies, and the rest of them was just his high school friends. And naturally, we got pretty tuned up and decided that Q and I were going to locker box, which just doesn't seem like a good idea for anyone. Q, I don't know if you want to add any flair to this.
Explain locker boxing to those listening who may be new to that term.
Oh, okay. I thought you needed me to explain it to you. So locker boxing is something that any hockey player growing up is going to do quite a bit. You basically put on your helmet and your gloves and you beat the shit out of each other.
Sounds very,
it's a rite of passage.
Northern Alberta-esque.
Yep. I mean, Northern Alberta, Minnesota, there's no difference, right?
No. Like I said, you guys are more Canadian than Ontario. But all right. That's a good teaser. Let's get into it.
So Q, I don't know if you have anything you want to add right away, but the lead in for it before we even got to fight, my buddy whose house it was, who is probably just as drunk as I am at this point, decides he's going to be my trainer and get me ready to fight Q. Go ahead.
I totally forgot about like the 3 months of freshman year that was just like, let's drink in locker box. Like, I hadn't even thought of that in 10 years.
Oh man. I totally forgot about Fight Club until you just said that, to be honest. Yeah.
Fight Club was awesome.
It's because you don't speak of it. That's why.
So side story, I guess we had a guy who lived across the hall from us who had his dorm to himself, and he would literally move all of his beds and everything just like as out of the way as possible, and we would set up different locker boxing matches, and it was pretty fun too, because shout out to my freshman roommate Nate. He is a smaller guy, like if you look at him, like shorter, whatever. People came in thinking they were gonna work him over, and he beat the shit out of some people. So shout out Nate.
You can never overlook the little guys. Like I've been watching all the fights from this, I guess it's this last week's UFC bout 263, and the lightweight, the featherweight, that's what I'm paying for, man. I mean, the heavyweights, you like to see them swinging, but those lightweight bouts are the best.
Fair. And so me now again going through my training to fight Q, my buddy gets me up on his treadmill. And I don't know or recall any of this, by the way. This is all being told to me secondhand. And then actually months later, I got to see a video of it, which, wow. Basically, I went on the treadmill and he set it to like 12, which is a pretty high setting. And apparently
there's only like, what, 820 settings or something like that? So that's over half.
I don't know. But so it was cruising. And I think I lasted like, when I saw the video months later, I think I lasted like 20 seconds and just fucking pancaked, just wrecked myself. Skipping forward in the story a little bit here, I woke up the next morning and my knees were stuck to the bed sheets because they were just covered in blood. I still have like scars on my knees from it. It's not one of my prouder moments.
So quickly, now that you gave us that caveat, like explain the fall, because I pictured more of like a head first, but if you went knees first, you know, then slid on the treadmill down, like what happened there?
No, I basically pancaked down, like just flat flop, and then got launched off of it, and my knees then hit the cement floor.
And probably a little treadmill rug burn too from the speed that it was.
A little bit, yeah, but... So then we get to the fight, and Quali was getting Q. You were upset with me, from what I'm told.
Well, like I was really hoping I was gonna win on a technicality and not even have to fight drunk Hoppy. You know, like I felt like it was 145, and maybe everything had aligned just right that I was gonna have a nice easy night and not get punched in the face. But
well, and so apparently, me just being in a drunken stupor, I'm just bouncing around, like just trying to like dodge and avoid all his hits. He's like, fucking fight me. Like, what the hell? And I just was jumping around doing everything. And then eventually I ended up going through, what was it? I think a drywall cue.
something. Yeah. Maybe a support in there too.
And then
so you literally are the state of Hoppy as you were hopping around and eventually hopped through the fucking wall.
Well, no, I got pushed through that wall. Let's be clear. I didn't jump through it. But apparently I went and explored the cornfields behind his house because he was throwing a tennis ball for his dog the next day, and the dog brought back one of the gloves I was using. So yeah, the night got away from me. I don't know, Q, do you remember anything else? Any good details from this?
Hoppy ran through the wall, out the building, into the cornfield.
I feel like I remember at breakfast the next day, someone's like, you realize the most dangerous thing we did last night was let Hoppy walk into the cornfield. But
I just picture Kool-Aid Man, oh yeah, outside the door, running into the cornfields.
Like, well, he did have a hockey helmet on, so it couldn't have been that dangerous.
Yeah, right.
Oh, in that case, Hoppy's noggin was actually protected, unlike your sports career.
Ouch.
Oh man. Well, that was a good one. Before we conclude this segment, anything else, Q, that you want to add?
Locker boxing freshman year, like I had long reach and you know, that helps, everybody thinks, but I'm like, I'm a lightweight. I don't want to fight anybody that's got any background or whatever. So like, I was pretty picky. I'd always take like the easiest opponents possible. And I remember some nights, like it was fun. We packed that guy's room. We had like 17, 18 people watching these fights. And, you know, we'd be in like
a small freshman dorm room.
It's like, I know exactly the size. Like, I can picture it today. Oh my God.
It was probably 12 by 12, and we still had a 10 by 10 rim because everybody was pressed up against the wall and like, yeah, standing on sinks and everything. It was fun.
That's amazing. All right, first edition in the books. Thank you, Q. And we encourage all of you to make good choices. On the other side, Judge Joey, season 2, argument number 2. You're listening to the Soda Pod, episode 164, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.
Every week, the Soda Pod will be featuring a debate of epic proportions, and I am here to determine who will hold the weekly belt of Judge Joey Champion. I, Judge Joey, will decide the winner, not by facts alone, but who debates the topic at hand the best and has the more compelling argument. But hold up, I am not the only one who gets to share their input on who has the better argument. You, yes you, the Soda Pod community, will be able to head to Twitter and cast your vote on who has the better case on Judge Joey. So enough introduction, let's get to tonight's topic. Tonight, I bring to you, which NHL player has the best specialized skill? And Hoppy, you are going first in this one because Isha...
I've already won, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so Hoppy leaves off.
All right, I'll take this one away quick to give Isha less time to do research because that's what he does.
I don't even need it.
We are going with Joe Pavelski, who is absolutely net front specialist in the NHL. If you watch him, whether it's in a game or in a practice, no one can screen and deflect a puck better than this guy. On top of the fact that he's already a world-class player in general, no one does that better than Joe Pavelski.
I love it. Clean to the point. Isha, take it away.
All right. I know I bring up my Vancouver bias a lot, but I'm bringing it out here. Alex Edler and breaking sticks is the most unbelievable talent I have ever seen for a player who makes the amount of money that he has throughout his career and for how important he's been as a top four defenseman for this team. Guys, I shit you not. From 2013 to 2017, I crunched the numbers on the power play. He had a 1.7 stick break per game percentage, and in the regular season, a 0.65%. If that's not consistency with a skill that no one else has in the league, I'm giving it to Alex Edler, the stick breaking man himself.
Zero research done.
I already had those numbers because I did the research in 2017. Because I was like, this is fucked. I think I even wrote an article for FanSided about it back then.
Love it. Absolutely love it. But you know what? I think Rasmus Ristolainen probably has broken more sticks than Edler. So I'm
Hey, Joey. Hey, wait. Probably? Give me the stats here, man.
I know. That's why I said probably. But man, I was super pumped. I thought of this creative idea, and you give me this bullshit of breaking
sticks. I didn't even pick the one that I wanted because I didn't want to sound biased. But
you could have done Patrick Kane's stick handling or Connor McDavid's.
Dude, speed. Who the fuck breaks their stick almost twice on a power play?
That's not a skill. That's a blemish.
That's a fucking skill.
I almost went Sidney Crosby backhand because his backhand's better than 90% of the league's forehand.
That is true.
Phenomenal. I really appreciate the humor side of things and the good argument. You actually had statistics to back it up, but
that he pulled out of nowhere.
Man, I already did the research.
I think the winds are getting to Isha's head in season two here, and he's getting a little cocky after that win. So I got to give this one to Hoppy. Yeah, I think Joe Pavelski is. I mean, especially in the playoffs, if they ever make it there again, which we think they will coming up here. But having that net for a presence and being able to get cross checks in the back and tip pucks through screens, I mean, that's crucial for a team. So, yeah, Hoppy, you take it this week.
Joey, I want to hear from you, though, because, again, this was an open-ended one. We weren't given options. Like, what were a couple of the ones that you were hoping or expecting to hear when you proposed this?
Instead of Alex Edler and him breaking
Instead of Alex
fast.
Edler. Message was the line, it would have been a good answer.
Yeah. I think Matthew's wrist shot, snapshot combination, how quick he gets that off. Nate McKinnon shooting on the in stride. I mean, the way he can get it off at top speed. I mean, he's fast, but he can rip his wrist shot in mid stride, just like Joe Sakic could back in the day. Connor McDavid's speed.
Hey, Connor McDavid, though, his speed is on par with Pavel Bure's, though. So I don't know if it's as unique as some of these other guys' stuff.
But it's
true.
It's current NHL. I mean, the way he can accelerate through the D with the puck on his stick, that's absolutely incredible. No,
it is. The one thing I want to say, though, is McKinnon can get a shot off. Again, he's not at the speed that McDavid. He's close, but he's not at that crazy top speed. He can get his shot off a little bit more easier than McDavid, I think.
Agreed. And that's why I brought it up, his shot in stride. I think I think he can do that better than McDavid can. But I think McDavid has the better speed aspect of just 0-2 top speed, like nothing.
Like two strides and he's gone.
Well, yeah. With how quick you came up with your answer, Isha, I thought 100% you were going to go with Ovechkin's ability to literally just not move on the power play and still score on command. Like that would have been a good answer.
Oh, phenomenal.
Didn't even hit my mind.
On the ice named after him.
Oh, true. Man.
But great arguments, boys. Isha, I once again appreciate the statistics side of things to judge Joey, even though it was on a useless topic.
I thought it was good, but
anyways. It is, but it's not good enough to bring you the W this week.
And that's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. It was a fun one. Thank you to those tuning in on Google, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Folks, the best thing you can do for us this week, any week, is to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. If you're a fan of the sport of hockey and want more hockey content, go listen to our website, thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. There's a podcast for you. There's a podcast covering every team in the National Hockey League and every niche in the sport of ice hockey, baby. On your app, please download the episode before you listen, as it helps our business. If you're a fan of basketball and food and wine, we got networks for you there as well. Go check us out at thebasketballpodcastnetwork.com or on Twitter at hoopspodnet for all NBA and college basketball content. Hey, and if you're a foodie much like myself, check us out, Eat, Drink, Dine Podcast Network, eatdrinkanddine.com. Don't forget to follow myself at VA Sports Talk. You can follow the Soda Pod at the Soda Pod. And of course, the Hockey Podcast Network at HockeyPodNet. Don't forget about our playoff THPN contest right before every National Hockey League playoff game at HockeyPodNet. There will be a post asking you for your predictions. Basically, retweet the post, predict the winner of the game, and that's an automatic entry into that playoff rounds contest. At the end of every round, we announce a winner. Enter to win a chance at your favorite jersey and to interact with a ton of great hockey fans. Oh, Hoppy's already gone, so I guess we'll just end it here, folks. Join us Friday for some Minnesota Wild content. Signing off, I'm Isha Jerome alongside the state of Hoppy. He's already gone. This has been the Soda Pod presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm good. Don't fear. Just drink some beer and stay wild.